You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. You can also find us online at www.cjsf.ca, or you can call us at 778-782-CJSF.
How do we become a sustainable world? As the stakes for our survival continues to rise, so does our global consciousness. We are in the midst of a great spiritual awakening and are laying the foundations for a happy, peaceful, just, and sustainable world. With clear vision, determination, and a positive attitude, we are making sustainability happen. The transformation is already underway. You are listening to Sustainable Futures. Welcome to Sustainable Futures. On this episode, we're going to hear the second part of our interview with Marcel Benti.
If you lead a healthy lifestyle and you supplement properly, if you have organic fruits and vegetables, and you make every attempt to stay away from vaccines, there's a very good chance that whatever virus or flu that you do get, that is just going to come and go within 3 to 7 days.
And an interview borrowed from RadioForAll.net. Done by Lisa Davies of It's Your Health, interviewing Alejandri Younger about building your immunity system.
Instead, when you go to the doctor today, they look for the symptom and they give you some kind of chemical that blocks the symptom from being created. So instead of removing obstacles and adding what's lacking so that you can restore normal body function, you're actually getting an extra obstacle to block a path of reactions that the body actually activated in order to survive something. Because also you have to think that your body is guided by the force of survival. Everything that your body is doing, everything is done to survive.
You are listening to Sustainable Futures. On this episode, we'll have the second part of our two-part interview with Marcel Benti about the H1N1 virus. In this part, we'll talk more about what you can do to build up your healthy immune system. And as a complement to that, we'll have another interview on the same topic, but done by a different interviewer. I've taken an interview from the file sharing website www.radioforall.net, and what we're going to hear is Lisa Davies from a program called It's Your Health, interviewing Alejandri Younger, who is a practicing doctor, about building immunity as well, from a non-vaccine point of view. I'd like to direct the conversation a little bit about what someone can do. If we have listeners here that are convinced to take care of their own health in any way they can without using the system in place, what are some things that they can do? Now, you mentioned all kinds of like vitamins and things that you
can
get.
Well, as I mentioned, if you take care of your health by eating naturally, by staying away from processed foods.
Yeah, okay.
By trying to stay away from the conventional food supply, staying away from vaccines, and frankly, educating others and your family,
yeah,
it will be easier for you to manage almost any disease that comes your way.
Right.
There are too many problems with the conventional food supply. We have done some reports going through grocery stores, and there is about 95% of packaged items in grocery stores, which are not edible. They are just filled with toxins, filled. And you can go on our website on preventdisease.com and research some of the toxins that they have. Soy lecithin is one of them. Polysorbate 80, potassium sorbate, sodium benzoate, MSG, aspartame. All of those additives are in foods, and all of them are very harmful for human health. But the thing is, you don't see it immediately. You see it in the long term. So a lot of people start consuming these foods, and they don't realize what they're doing to their bodies in the long term. It's the same thing with vaccines. Some people are not affected by vaccines immediately. Others are. They get allergic reactions right away because a lot of the vaccines are cultured from with egg and chicken embryos, and people have allergic reactions. But other people, they don't have any reactions at all, but they have ingredients in them which are bioaccumulatives. So they accumulate in your body, and they accumulate in the brain, and they are what cause damage over a 10 or 20 year period. So, as I said, the best thing that you can do is stay away from the conventional system. And frankly, don't listen to the mainstream media so much. Do your own research, and you will realize what foods are good and what foods are not. There are too many problems right now with non-organic fruits and vegetables. And we have a lot of articles about that on the website. You can review them. You can review all sorts of different articles on the internet about genetically modified foods. You can read Seeds of Deception, which is an excellent book, which details what genetically modified foods do and how they can turn genes on and off in your body, how they can actually create pesticide factories within your intestines, within your stomach, that can essentially kill you in the long term. And they've done a lot of studies with animals, and a lot of the animals have died. So they have learned it's a very sadistic process, what's going on here. And a lot of people say, well, they just don't know any better. They're just trying to, you know, feed the population in different ways, and they just discover these things after the fact. That's not true. A lot of the times they encounter a lot of these things by mistake, and then they implement them. Monsanto is one of the largest genetically modified food producers in the world, with huge ties to government. And they know exactly what they're doing. And it's a very malicious company that's involved in trying to, frankly, poison the public. So staying away from a non-organic foods is a big, big deal. If you can stick to organic foods, stick to organic fruits and vegetables, stick to unprocessed foods. If you stay away from unprocessed foods, then you're not going to be exposed to all of these dangerous additives. If you try, obviously, and exercise daily, that is a huge mental boost for the immune system and the body itself. People that practice spirituality and prayer, they also seem to do very well according to studies. And if you talk about these things with your friends, your family members, and you lead a healthy life, people will adapt. It's just as Gandhi said, is that we have to induce a change in ourselves for what we want to see in the world. And if we change what we do, others will follow. And if you shun the conventional food supply, vaccines, and the medical system, then we are headed for a healthy change.
If you saw a child fall into a river, would you turn away or come to the rescue? So how many miles away must we be before we can pretend there's nothing we can do? Be the change. Be the change. History is bound to repeat itself until we all wake up and get off this ride. I believe the time is now knocking on our door. Will yours and my lock open wide? Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. Can't be done, nothing can't be done, that's what they were saying. Maybe you're the one, maybe you're the one. Change has just begun, change. creditors, who will be the next to be part of the cure for the pains we have? Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. Child fall into a river, would you turn away or come to the rescue?
The song is called Be the Change and it's by Lenny Gallant. And now back to our interview. And cleansing too. Like if someone's listening.
Yeah, cleansing is another yeah. issue that is being talked about, well, has been talked about for thousands of years. I mean, they've been doing detoxifications of populations and different tribes, indigenous tribes, et cetera, for a long time now. And I just want your listeners to understand that even if you have been vaccinated at some point in your life, I mean, most people have. I've been vaccinated.
Yes,
if you've been raised in the Western world or in a developed nation, you've been vaccinated. That doesn't mean that you're damaged for life. There are always things that you can do no matter how unhealthy your life has been, so that you can reverse the process, and that's detoxification and cleansing your body.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different minerals and zeolite minerals that you can use out there that will detoxify the body, release a lot of those heavy metals. Try and stay away from conventional dentistry if you can, with the mercury fillings, and see a holistic dentist. This month, actually, it'll be on the website another 3 or 4 days, but if you go to our tips section, there's a report there on the left hand side. If you scroll down, there's a tips section and there's a report there how you can cure tooth decay naturally without any kind of dentistry.
Oh, nice.
So there's a lot of tools that we can, that are available to us now, that people have been discovering. Weston A. Price is a good example. He's a massive researcher that has uncovered so many healthy things that we can do for our body to prevent tooth decay naturally without ever seeing a dentist. And Rami Nagel's book, Cure Tooth Decay, is based on his work, and that's one of the reports that we have on the website this month. So that's one of the things that you can do to protect yourself. But yes, detoxification and cleansing is very important, so encouraging your listeners to please review information on that and talk to a naturopathic doctor. These people have so much knowledge on these issues. Every naturopathic doctor that I interview, they are so knowledgeable on what to do about when your body becomes loaded with heavy metals. They can put you through specific tests that can reduce your heavy metal load. They can give you advice for your metabolic type and for your body in general on what you can absorb, what you shouldn't absorb, how you should change your diet that will benefit your daily life. So, yeah, that's a definite recommendation I can make is to visit a naturopathic doctor and have them make those recommendations for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we've covered quite a lot here. Is there anything else you would like to speak about?
I think the main thing I want to get across to your listeners is to do their own research and cross-reference as much material as possible. This virus that exists now is not lethal. That doesn't mean that it won't get more lethal 6 months down the road or a year down the road. But right now, it's not lethal. It's not an urgency whatsoever to get vaccinated. And from what I've been researching, I believe the people that become vaccinated are going to be having a lot of problems with their health. in about 3 months to a year's time. That seems to be the window where a lot of the symptoms occur. So try and stay away from the vaccines if you can, and understand that a lot of these vaccines haven't been tested. So it's essential to request the information from the government as to why. Talk to your local MPs. Talk to your community leaders. Write to your governments and find out why things are being done the way they're being done, and why we're signed on to the WHO in different countries if they violate these constitutional laws.
And there is something called the Freedom of Information Act that is a very great tool.
That's right. The Freedom of Information Act is very important, and that can expose you to a lot of information that you otherwise couldn't get. The information is, it's all there. It's all available for you. If you just do the research online, you will see all of the information. Every single investigation that I complete starts on the internet and ends on the internet. And in between, there is a series of experts that may be interviewed. There's a writers, journal, other journalists. But at the end of the day, all of the information is available to you on the internet if you just investigate it for yourself. So one of the main things I want to get across to your listeners is to do the research for yourself so you can make educated, informed decisions on how to treat the situation and how to protect your family.
Okay. I know you're stressing the internet. So what's wrong with getting your information from maybe some newspapers or your television or...
Well, and I also want to state this, that the internet is filled with a lot of disinformation as well. So, again, that's why you cross-reference as much as possible. But you cannot get any truthful information from the newspapers to television anymore. This is a fact. If you don't understand that, then you really need to be talking to more people and more health professionals that are not entrenched in the conventional health system. They just really take you down the wrong path. And there's a lot of psychological operations that take place on the mainstream media. And they do it very well. They're very good at instigating fear in the population. And if you follow the mainstream media, whether it be on television or on the news, then eventually you get led down the wrong path. And you start realizing after a certain period of time that it's completely opposed to alternative views on the internet, whereas, in my opinion, is where you can get the only truth right now. If you stick to sources on the internet, and multiple sources, as I said, I want to emphasize that, multiple sources. Don't just stick to one website, because one website is not going to have all the information. Go through multiple websites. If you can review dozens, great. If you can review 100, excellent. The more, the better. But the information that you will review on a lot of natural health sites, I'm not saying all of them, but on a lot of them, will guide you in a direction that will protect your health rather than adversely affect it, as the mainstream media will. One other thing I want to mention, Ryan, there are some silver components that are, we haven't done that much research on them, but there's apparently some silver supplements that you can take that are bought at the health food store. Colloidal silver is, I think, one of the things that has been around for a while. That's the one that has been having bad reviews because it can make you blue. But there are some silver technologies right now which exist, which are light years ahead of colloidal silver. And there's one that I believe Dr. Horowitz has called OxySilver, which is supposed to be really good. If some of your listeners would like to research that information, I think they may be satisfied with what they read and the protection strategies that exist in a lot of those supplements. But you don't necessarily need that. If you lead a healthy lifestyle and you supplement properly, if you have organic fruits and vegetables, and you make every attempt to stay away from vaccines, there's a very good chance that whatever virus or flu that you do get, that is just going to come and go within 3 to 7 days.
It all
depends on the person. Yeah. Some people are different. Yeah. When I get sick, I'm out for 7 days at least.
Yeah.
But other people, my wife, for example, she's, 3 days and she's done. Her immune system can overpower most viruses. So it's really an individual thing. But I want to encourage your listeners to just review some of the information out there on supplements such as silver and the properties that exist within them to heal.
Yeah, this all seems to be also, it's about taking an active interest in your health and in learning about health itself and being your own teacher sort of thing is what I'm getting here as well.
That is a really good point. That is a very good point, because if people instruct themselves on the best way, because everybody is different. We can't say that one thing works for every single person. We're all unique. One thing that works for one individual doesn't work for another. Everybody reacts differently to disease and to treatments. So as you mentioned, instruct yourself on how to take care of yourself and teach yourself. Your best doctor in the future is going to be you.
Absolutely.
And I'll go on record stating that, because there is not a medical doctor that exists today that's coming out of the conventional medical system that is going to be able to help you in the future. It's just not going to happen. They are really leading the public in the wrong direction. So if you take care of yourself and you base all of your information on natural health and natural healing strategies, you're going to be looking good in the next few decades of your life, or however long you live. As long as you go back to natural mechanisms of healing, you can't go wrong. And you always have to remember that we've been on the planet for a long time. I'm not going to say how long, but we've been on the planet for a very long time, hundreds of thousands or millions of years, depending on what theories you listen to. And the human body is very resilient. So, you know, don't listen to people that tell you that you got to stay out of the sun, or you got to put on 50 SPF sunblock to protect you from the sun, because those types of things, they didn't exist 1,000 years ago, and people were much healthier in many respects because they used the natural tools from the earth to heal themselves. So the more that the communities and populations go back to nature, the better off we're going to be. And the more we go back to a local level in terms of food importing and exporting, the healthier we're going to be. I have a lot of different opinions on that. I really do think that in the next few decades, those who are able to subsist on their own supplies of food will probably be the best off.
Yeah.
And those who are exposed to the food supplies of others will probably be the worst off. And I think that the elite organizations of the world realize this, because they're making attempts to try and restrict that.
Right. Bill C-50 and C-6.
Yeah, those are very good examples. And everybody, go and read up on Codex Alimentarius, which is supposed to come into effect in Canada and the U.S. and every other country that signed on WHO on December 31st, 2009. And write to your government, tell them that you don't want this implemented in your country, and that you refute any kind of policy that they try and implement to restrict free access to nutritional supplements of any dose that are considered healthy and that natural health practitioners consider healthy. Because once they try and do that, they have a lock and key to your health. I think that's really important for people to understand and to approach your governments with. If they listen, great. If they don't listen, then you have to start making plans yourself to start growing your own foods so that you can always have optimal nutrients in your body. Because once they start restricting that, then even the foods in the grocery stores that are conventional foods anyway are going to have no nutritional value at all.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not like that already. Actually, there's a lot of research that I've done on organic foods. One organic apple is equivalent to 4 conventional apples in terms of vitamin nutrients, just to give you an example. So, and that's only to get worse as the next 10 years go by.
Yeah, and just for the listener too, we had on Sustainable Futures, we had an interview with Sean Buckley, who spoke very well on Bill C-6 and C-50. So if you want to learn more about that, you can also look at our archive for Sustainable Futures, which is on radioforall.net.
Sure. Absolutely. And those bills, C6 and their predecessors, C51, 52, those are never going to be mentioned on the mainstream media. If they are ever, you'll probably hear a little tiny blurb about it. And they keep trying and sneak those through the government and trying to pass those bills. Don't let them pass those bills. Mm-hmm. And review the information that Ryan is offering. And was it Sean Buckley?
Yes.
That he is reviewing as well. Any information that anybody has on that, on Bill C-6, you can email it. Actually, I'm going to give people an email that they can reach me at for anything having to do with the flu. If you have any information in your area and you would like that information to be posted and revealed, we have an international audience, but we have a large base in the UK, Australia, United States, and Canada. So if you want that information to be broadcasted, you can email me at flu@preventdisease.com. Once again, it's flu@preventdisease.com. And if you want to review any of the information that I've given today, all the information is available for you on the website itself. If you go on the main page on the right side, there's a button that says, there's a red button that says flu pandemic. On the right side, towards the middle of the page, you'll see it on the right side. I'll just be sticking right out at you. And on that page, we have dozens of articles which are going to explain the history of this virus, vaccinations, and exactly what is going on. So if you're confused about it, if you're frightened, use that information to empower you to do the right thing. Talk to people about it as much as possible. And a lot of these subjects with vaccinations are very taboo with a lot of people, but there's no more time for that. We are just getting way too close to mandatory vaccinations. And if people don't understand the issues, and whether they're a scientist or whether they're a medical doctor, if they review the information, the conclusions are irrefutable. Mm-hmm. They really are. So review the information, review what's behind this entire process, and what the WHO, the World Health Organization, is trying to do to the populations with and in conjunction with the Rockefeller cartel and the pharmaceutical organizations, and you will understand that this system of vaccination is there for one thing, and it's to harm your health.
Okay. Well, this has been really great, Marcel. Thank you for being our interview guest here on Sustainable Futures.
Thanks for having me on, Ryan.
So this has been Marcel Benty from PreventDisease.com, and we were talking about the swine flu vaccinations and so many other relevant topics to that. Stay tuned on Sustainable Futures. You are listening to Sustainable Futures on CJSF 90.1 FM. This has been an interview with Marcel Benty about the H1N1 vaccine. And now we're switching to an interview with Alejandri Yungar, conducted by Lisa Davies, about immunity.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. How do you feel? Are you fatigued, have allergies, indigestion, skin conditions, or anxiety? When you see your doctor, do you leave with prescriptions for medication without addressing the root of the problems? Today's guest answered yes to several of the above issues, and when he was told he needed medication, he set out on an incredible journey that not only changed his life, but the lives of his patients, too. Now you can learn how to feel more vibrant and healthy by reading the eye-opening book by Alejandro Yungar, M.D., Clean, the revolutionary program to restore the body's natural ability to heal. Dr. Yungar believes that the majority of these common ailments are the direct result of toxic buildup in our systems. Clean offers a program that provides all the tools necessary to support and reactivate our detoxification system. Alejandro Yungar, MD, is board certified in internal medicine and cardiology, having trained and now practicing in New York City. In addition, after completing his medical training, Dr. Yungar studied Eastern medicine in India. He was a medical director of the We Care Holistic Health Center in Palm Springs, a world-famous center for fasting, cleansing, and detoxification. Currently, he is in private practice at the renowned 1111 Wellness Center and is the director of integrative medicine at Lenox Hill Hospital, New York City. Dr. Yungar, welcome to It's Your Health.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad. Now, while introducing you, I did allude to the fact that you did have some health challenges. Can you tell us about that and about your journey to health and well-being and also about the way you grew up in Uruguay?
Yeah, I grew up in Uruguay in a country, a small country that that basically did not have any supermarkets or any processed foods, and we used to eat local, seasonal fruits and vegetables that we bought at the farmer's market. I mean, so we're a very wholesome, not too modern way of growing up. Then after medical school in Uruguay, I came to New York because I wanted to do my training, my postgraduate specialty. I wanted to do it in the place where the books that I was reading in Uruguay were being written. So I came to New York. And the change in lifestyle was so big, mostly in terms of what I ate and when I ate and how I ate, that that it started taking a big toll on me. And by the second year, I started having some allergies. By the third year, the allergies got so bad they needed medication, including prednisone, which is the strongest gun of the anti-allergics. And then my bowels starting having difficulty digesting the food that I was eating or the food-like products that I was eating. And I had alternating constipation with diarrhea and always discomfort and bloating. And to make matters worse, by the end of my training, I was utterly depressed. Mm. And seeking for help amongst my colleagues, I ended up with 3 specialty consultations, a gastroenterologist who diagnosed me with irritable bowel syndrome, an allergist for my severe allergies, and a psychiatrist for my so-called depression, and ended up with 7 prescription medications, which made no sense to me and launched me on my desperate search for a different kind of solution.
Now, did any of those doctors ask about your lifestyle, your eating habits, your stress levels?
That's
a big problem.
Not in a way that makes me remember today.
Okay.
I remember other questions they asked me, but not that. And nobody explained to me the relationship between these things and the symptoms that I was experiencing.
So you're like, I don't want to take these medications, which I think is great. And so you ended up going to India, is that correct?
Yeah, and the reason why I did that, I wasn't going to study different kind of medicine. I was so desperate to shut my mind, which I realized was constantly chattering and criticizing myself and thinking about all the horrible things that could happen in my job. And I mean, it was this constant chatter in my mind, which I thought really was me going mad. You know, now I know that everybody has that problem. Just nobody.
Oh, yeah. They call that monkey mind, I think.
Yeah, except that nobody talks about it. But at that time, I didn't know. I didn't study it in medical school. Nobody told me that. Just like nobody told me anything about nutrition. Nobody told me anything about how the mind works. And so I was left alone thinking I was mad and looking for a solution. And then finally, by chance, found a book that spoke about meditation, not medication. I decided this was what I was looking for, a way to shut my mind. And that's how I ended up in India.
Oh, okay. And so while you were there, you learned to meditate, and that made a big difference. I tend to have monkey mind, and I'm still trying. I haven't given up. My husband's been meditating for years, and it really makes a huge difference. And there's something that, you know, when you talk about in the book, you talk about, obviously, the toxins and the effects of the food, and you also talk about something called quantum toxicity, which has to do with the stress in the mind. And
What quantum toxicity stands for I give the people the idea that toxins are not limited to physical chemicals.
Okay.
There can be thoughts that are toxic. There can be emotions that are toxic. There can be relationships and government and financial institutions that are toxic. So toxicity comes in many, many ways. quantum toxins are those toxins that are not measurable by weight or size, like thoughts and feelings.
Okay. Yeah, because you can, you know, like you were saying at this, you know, going to a supermarket, for example, when I go to a regular supermarket, I literally cannot find anything to eat. And people used to laugh at me in college, and I'd say, I don't like to eat things out of packages. I eat really clean, just like your book. But yet I tend to have a lot of, because of the monkey mind and the stress, it's interesting how you can eat really clean, but if you have all that stress, you're also going to have the toxic buildup in your system. Is that correct?
Well, you're mixing a little bit there.
Oh, okay.
the thing is, whether you eat it clean or not, it doesn't mean that you will be avoiding what I call another inconvenient truth, you know,
yes,
which is the global toxicity, the barrage of toxins that overload our system day in, day out, just by the mere fact of living in a modern city.
I see. So even if you are trying to eat organic foods and purified water and avoid white flour and sugar, you're still getting the toxins in your system.
Yes. Not only that, but the whole environment in which we live, which is not really what nature intended as a design for us,
mm-hmm,
is toxic in itself. So modern life, you know, is by definition toxic before we invented any chemicals.
I see. Now, in the book, you talk about some blue zones that are like nice places to live. That, can you tell us about those?
Well, I mean, do you watch Oprah?
I haven't in a while. I do like Oprah, but I don't watch a lot of television.
There was an episode that talked about the blue zones, and this is where I learned about it. There are certain areas, certain villages or towns or cities around the world in strategic locations, but nobody knows, you know, what determines these towns to be the way they are geographically. But what happens in those places is that people live to 120, 130, and you go there and you see 90-year-old people riding bicycles and chopping wood and harvesting their gardens. So so they go in and they take a look at what these people are doing, and you know, what are they eating, what are they doing, how are they living, and then there's a few common things that no matter where on earth these zones are, these themes are repeated. And one of them is a plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is a sense of community and purpose. You know, so when that it joins, then people seem to live longer and better lives.
Yeah, you know, when I was in college, I went and spent some time with some relatives on a kibbutz in Israel, and there were, yeah, like 80-year-old and 90-year-old people riding around on bicycles, and they were out picking fruit and doing work, and everybody was working, and it was such an amazing environment. And I thought, wow, this is really great to see so many people active. And they did have a nursing home, but the people are like over 100. I mean, everybody else was in pretty good shape.
Yes.
And it's that sense of community that I think is really important. I think that's really missing in our culture. Now, I want to talk about something that is, you know, that's really prevalent in our culture that everyone thinks is so healthy, which is dairy. And I've been saying for years, I don't think milk does a body good. And everybody argues with me. So can you tell us your thoughts on this?
Well, milk does a body good, but the body of the calf, if it's cow milk.
Yeah.
And if it's a baby human being, right, milk from his mother does that baby good.
That's for sure.
You know, so all these answers to questions about how things should be, then if you really want to know the answer, you have to look at the places where things are functioning as they were designed by nature.
Exactly.
See, because that's the way things should be, the way nature designed it, the way nature made it happen through thousands of years of evolution. Now, the bad thing about the humans is that we can't go out and look at humans that are not living in a modern way, because we destroyed everybody that lived as nature designed humans to live. They were running around naked, so we thought they were savages.
Yeah.
And then we were left without an example. So right now, anybody's guess, you know? Okay, so what should man eat? What should humans eat? You go to a library, there's thousands of opinions. But the truth is nobody really knows. Now, if you ask what should dogs eat, and you go and you find dogs in the wild, then you can copy what they do and use it with your dog at home, right?
Yes.
Now, when we look outside at the animals in the wild, just to try to understand how nature does things, then we see some things that may be useful to us. For example, there is no mammal on the planet that, after stopping breastfeeding, continues to drink milk, stealing it from a different kind of mammal.
That would be pretty odd.
So it's for sure unnatural. Now does it do a body good? I don't know, but taking it away, I know, does a body good, because many, many, many of my patients come here with allergies and, you know, symptoms of arthritis and you name it, whatever. And sometimes the only thing that I manage to do with them is convince them to stop drinking any kind of dairy product or eating any kind of dairy product for at least 3 months. And when I do that, it's just mind-blowing how things get better.
I bet. You know, because a lot of your book talks about the importance of the integrity of the gut and keeping the gut healthy and the mucus in the body. If you can tell us a little bit about that and also about wheat, because I understand that wheat is also mucus producing and not so great for people, even whole grain wheat.
Yeah. The big concept that I was left with after all this investigation and research that I did, and I did it not to be a hip doctor or an alternative doctor, which seems to be in fashion now.
Yeah.
I did it to save my life. So what I found now is basically, this is my understanding. The body is incredibly intelligent, and it's trillions of chemical reactions of which it depends or which actually make the body. They are happening by themselves, as if guided by an invisible hand. Two things prevent these chemical reactions from happening in a normal way that translates in a normal functioning body. These two things are either certain obstacles that block the chemical reaction needed, or things that are lacking that don't allow the chemical reaction to happen. You know, with molecule A and molecule B have to join to form molecule C. If there is no molecule A, then there is no reaction.
Oh, okay.
And if the molecule B is stuck to another type of molecule that keeps it away from the reaction, then there is no reaction either. So when you remove the obstacles and you add whatever is lacking, everything falls back into place, function is restored, and diseases disappear.
I see.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that's basically the big concept behind integrative medicine, or its best example in the United States, the Institute of Functional Medicine, which teaches functional medicine, which this is really what it bases itself on.
Yes. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Instead, when you go to the doctor today, they look for the symptom, and they give you some kind of chemical that blocks the symptom from being created. So instead of removing obstacles and adding what's lacking so that you can restore normal body function, you're actually getting an extra obstacle to block a path of reactions that the body actually activated in order to survive something. Because also you have to think that your body is guided by the force of survival. Everything that your body is doing, everything is done to survive.
Yeah. Wow.
So if your body is so intelligent and something is happening that you distinguish or that you understand as a disease, the truth is that is your body trying to survive something. So instead of killing that, try to find what your body's trying to survive.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, that's the thing about the medication, is it's going to suppress what's really happening in your body instead of figuring out what the heck is going on. And that's something that doctors, that's why you're so great, because not that many people have done that. And, you know, you talk in your book about, and I had the quote written down. I apologize. I had it right in front of me a minute ago. But you were talking about basically that the doctors, they're looking for what they know, but they're not looking for what they don't know.
And they find what they're looking for.
But
they only look for what they know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, great diagnosticians. Yeah, we usually end up finding what we are looking for, but we only look for what we already know. Now, it's funny because my dad's an ophthalmologist, and he told me this. He said, there's a little secret you should know about doctors. And he said this to me, and he said, I love doctors. He said, but, you know, like, for example, my daughter has Asperger's and some other special needs, and it was really hard to get her diagnosed. And a lot of times they literally would, if they didn't know, they didn't know what they were looking for, they would just be like, I don't know, she seems okay, or I don't know. And I said that to my dad, and he said, yeah, because they don't know what they're looking for. It's not something that's familiar to them. And this whole important thing that you're talking about with the toxicity, they need to know this because they don't know what they're looking for.
It's like I say in the book, medicine, and actually the modern world, is detox blind. We just don't know that. And on top of everything, to make things matters worse, we have experts, you know, serious, academic, respected experts coming and with a straight face saying that detoxification is quackery and dangerous.
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's just ignorance.
It is ignorance.
You know, when I hear that, I say my prayer, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're saying.
Yes. Now, how do your colleagues react? I mean, I assume you have other doctors who are into open-minded medicine, which I was going to ask you about in a minute, but what about more mainstream conventional doctors? Have they been more, at least, willing to hear you out?
Well, you know, the thing is, there is a branch of medicine, or a style of medicine, or a school of medicine, if you will, in America, called the Institute for Functional Medicine. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't, but I have now from reading your book, but
This school of medicine really was born in a very grassroots form, manner, and it's all the baby or you know, the creation of the mind of one of the greatest scientists, or one of the greatest minds alive today, in my opinion, Jeffrey Bland, who basically came up with this a translation of an Eastern paradigm of thinking into a Western world, into a medical Western language that uses, you know, all the technology and everything that we already know, but also the view of human beings as a whole and the planet as a system. So this Institute of Functional Medicine has been doing, as a grassroots movement, a dissemination of their teachings, and they're training many, many health practitioners around the United States in these courses that they have called the AFMCP, Applying Functional Medicine in Clinical Practice. And once doctors leave this course, they have this new way of approaching things, of looking for the obstacles and also looking for what is lacking, so the obstacles can be removed and depletions can be restored. And they are doing an amazing job. I mean, I'm one of their students, and this is today a growing movement. So you'd soon hear about it if you hadn't heard from me.
Yeah, no, because, I think that's wonderful.
Because I believe that functional medicine is going to take over the whole system in the United States, which, by the way, is collapsing.
Yes. Yeah. I really hope so, because I've been thinking these kinds of things for years. And I mean, I'm a very, you know, natural and healthy person. And I just wish more doctors would take the time. You know, I did a television program in California called Health Power, and there was a doctor that I interviewed, and this was in the late 90s. And he was great. He was all about mind-body medicine. And he was, you know, a mainstream doctor who, again, really reached out and taught meditation classes and would really take the time with his patients and ask them about their lifestyle and their community and their relationships. You mentioned earlier toxic relationships. And I don't think people realize how negative that is to their overall health and happiness.
Listen, I would spend the whole day talking to you, but I have two patients waiting for me.
Oh, I know you have to go. Well, I just want to thank you so much, and I want to encourage everyone to go get your book, Clean. Thank you so much for joining us today. You were wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. And next week, we're going to be joined by Linda Gallagher, who is at Stepping Stones here in Bradford, Massachusetts. And we're also going to be joined by Norm Russo, who is the owner of Fitness Together in Cambridge. And everybody, oh, and then next Tuesday, August 25th, Devin Alexander, who has written many, best-selling books. One of them is The Biggest Loser Family Cookbook and The Biggest Loser Cookbook and lots of other great stuff. So anyway, have a great week. Keep being healthy. And thanks so much. And sorry about the time confusion today. Bye-bye.
Well, this concludes our 41st episode of Sustainable Futures. I hope you're enjoying our programs. If you would like to hear this or any other program that's been on Sustainable Futures, you can go to the website www.radioforall.net. That's the number four, radioforall.net. And put Sustainable Futures in the search bar, and you'll see all episodes that have aired to date. And again, this is episode number 41. Thank you for listening. I hope you have found this information valuable and inspiring and interesting. I always do. And that's why I do the program. It's a great pleasure. So I hope you're doing well, have great health and immunity and joy in your life. And I'm wishing you a sustainable future.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. You can also find us online at www.cjsf.ca, or you can call us at 778-782-CJSF.